In 1967, the famous theologians Lennon and McCartney pronounced, "All you need is love." Okay, maybe they're not famous theologians, but still, I think everybody probably knows their teachings more than they do Pope Benedict on love. All you need is love. And it seemed so innocent, just so perfect. All we need, just love. Love everybody, and wouldn't the world be such a better place? The question, though, is maybe asked in an equally famous song of 1983, what is love? Or even, what's love got to do with it? Seems like all of our songs, they talk about love a lot, and we use that word love a lot, not just in our music, but in everyday language. We say we love all over the place. We're kind of, in fact, limited by the fact that we just got that one word, love, to express so many things. You think about it, we say, I love my dog, I love my goldfish, I love my car, I love my job, I love my family, I love my spouse, I love God. Same word, but I mean, hopefully we mean something a little bit different between I love my dog and I love my spouse. But we use the same word, so it can be kind of confusing. All we need is love, but what does that really mean? And what does it look like? Concretely, well, fortunately, in our scriptures, the Greek language and even the Hebrew language is not limited this way that English is. In Greek, there are three main words that refer to love, and two of them are even used in our gospel today. The three words in Greek that all get translated into English as love that I'd like to focus on today, the first one is eros. You would probably recognize the word erotic comes from this, eros. The second is philos. You would notice this in the root of Philadelphia. This is brotherly kind of love, the love of friendship. And then finally, there is the love that St. John refers to in his letter and that Jesus uses in his gospel. And that is the word agape. All three of these words, eros, philos, and agape, all get translated love. But they mean something very different. If we just start with eros, I think a lot of us think we're familiar with this kind of love. This is that attractive kind of love that immediately draws you towards another person or even another thing. But it calls us to something higher. We recognize that in eros, there's kind of almost a power that's beyond us. It's this kind of love that maybe we can refer to as falling in love. Almost as if we fell in a hole, as if we didn't have anything to do with it. It's just all of a sudden, I saw her standing there. And there was just like this attractiveness. And you see that person, and immediately something stirs within you. Now we might think, well, the church isn't very keen on that kind of love. That we're into bigger, higher kinds of love. That we need a higher love, as another great group would sing of. No, the church is actually very positive on eros. Because this is love. This is God-created love. This attractiveness that draws us out of ourselves toward another person is put there by God. Pope Benedict, although not as famous as the Beatles, wrote in his first encyclical, Deus Caritas Est, God is love, quoting today's gospel. He wrote an entire section on eros. And amazingly, not only does he say Christianity didn't kill eros, but in fact, it's a very good thing. And then Benedict's keen insight, he says, in fact, God himself even has eros love for us. Think about that. That is amazing. God is passionately in love with us. That love is not only not bad, it's good and necessary. The problem, though, is that our society kind of sums up all of love in that one Greek word of eros. But notice how based in feeling that is. It's all about how I feel, this attraction. That attraction is meant to draw us higher, beyond mere feeling. But that's where we get things so wrong in our society, because we think love equals that feeling of eros, that attractiveness. And so we fall in love, And we think that's it. And then when those feelings are gone, when it doesn't feel good anymore, when I no longer have that attraction towards another person, and especially if life were to get difficult with that person, well, we would say, well, I fell out of love. That's not love. Eros can be a feeling, but it's got, if it's really going to be the love that we want for a lifetime, the love especially that we see in marriage, the love in religious profession, that's a higher kind of call, one that's based in eros, that initial attractiveness. But we always in society throughout history have created structure, because we know that eros left unordered leaves us unhappy and unfulfilled and constantly chasing after the next great high. Where will I find the next thing, the next person that will attract me again so I can feel that way again? Problem is, if without restraint, without any kind of ordering, if we live our life that way, we wind up miserable and never committed and chasing one thing after the next. Jesus in the gospel today speaks of the love of agape. This is a love that transcends mere feeling. Rather, agape is marked by a self-commitment, a self-giving, a selflessness that says, I care more about the other than myself. Agape is the most fulfilling kind of love, perhaps, because it is in this love that we find the true meaning of human existence, that we are meant to make of ourselves a gift to another. Eros can draw us into that, but then agape is rooted in commitment. When I find that person that I'm attracted to and I want to say, now I wish to make a total gift of self. That kind of ordering and structuring then we call marriage, religious profession, holy orders. Notice Jesus says, how will you know if you really love? What's the mark of real love according to Jesus and the gospel? If you keep my commandments, you remain in my love. Because this higher love that Jesus wants for us is beyond feelings. It's rooted in a total gift of self, a total commitment. And notice how that goes so hand in hand with the beautiful gift of marriage. Because that commitment is so necessary in married love. Because in married love, God brings two people together who don't just feel attracted to each other, but they make a permanent commitment to bring new life into the world. Married love is fruitful, and that's why it needs that commitment, because the children that are born out of that kind of love need the love of a mom and a dad to pass on the beautiful love of God. You know, if we want to see what agape love looks like, Jesus gives us the example. He says, as the Father loves me, so I love you. I agape you. How does Jesus show that agape? Well, we only have to look at the cross. If we want to see what agape love looks like, that's it. Notice, Jesus didn't feel good on the cross. He didn't die for us because he felt like it was the right thing to do. Rather, he made a commitment to pour himself out entirely for another, for his bride, the church, so that all of us could live as he gives up his life for us. That's agape. You know, on this beautiful Mother's Day, I think one of the most humanly concrete examples we have of agape in our life is the love of our mothers. It doesn't feel good to become a mother, to give birth to a child. It doesn't feel good to stay up all night as the little child is crying, to feed, to change the diapers. That doesn't feel good. But that's agape. That's a self-sacrificing love. We're here today, and many of us can say that I know what love is because we first learned it from our mothers. I think in my own life, all the things that I'm able to do today, the person that I'm able to be, I owe so much to my mother, who is not just there for me in the normal ways that a mom is there sacrificially in the life of a newborn, but I think even of all those games that my mom drove me to, all those practices, Despite what people might think, it is not exciting to watch a group of kindergartners rally around a soccer ball and move like a little mob. That's just not exciting. Or to watch me perpetually hit the tee and knock the ball to the ground and not go anywhere. T-ball is not exciting, despite what people might think. But she was there. I think, too, of the fact that I love to play trumpet today. It was my mom that drove me down the road to the next town so I could have trumpet lessons, and she sat there in the car and waited while I learned to play the trumpet. But you know what? Today, she still wants to come to my concerts, never wants to miss one, gets upset if I don't tell her when there's a concert because she wants to come. That's the way moms are. It was my mom that was so excited on the day of my ordination, my mom that always wants to be at Mass and wants to know when I'm celebrating. That's a love that's not based on just feeling. It's rooted in a commitment that she made long ago in marriage to my dad, and that she continues to live out in commitment to me, even, and my sister this day. But notice what is the fruit of commitment in love, a life lived according to God's commandments. Society would have us believe that it is a drudgery, that the church takes all the fun out of eros and the excitement out of love. Notice what happens in the love of agape. Jesus says, joy. I give you this order in your love. I give my love to you that you might have joy, and not just a little joy, but that your joy might be complete, that it would be full. A life of agape, far from being a drudgery, is a life of joy. And that's the secret meaning of love that our society just does not get. Love is found not in how I feel, but in how I give myself and what commitments I make. Finally, though, and in this I want to speak especially to our young people here, those who are not in marriage right now, those who are way too young to be married. And that is this third love that Jesus mentions in the scriptures today. And I'll end with this. Jesus says, after he says, I agape you, apostles, he says, I call you my friends. The greatest title that Jesus could give to those he loved was friend. I think our society kind of cheapens friendship today. We look at it as maybe a step on the way to something better or greater. There is no greater thing that you could be than to be someone's friend. I have so many friends that some I've known since I was in kindergarten. Friends that have been with me throughout my life. Friends that I know I can call anytime I need help or someone to talk to. It's not easy to be a friend. It too takes commitment and sometimes sacrifice to be a friend of that person who doesn't seem to have any friends. The person that maybe seems alone at lunch or at recess. God may be calling you to be their friend. This is a very special kind of love. And I especially encourage you young people, don't spend your entire time while you're young looking for the day when you'll be married or be committed. God will bring that beautiful flowering of agape. Right now, be friends. As a high school chaplain, there's one advice I always give to the high school kids. Don't look to date too early. Concentrate on being friends. That is the greatest call you could have in your life right now, especially to be friends. I am so grateful for my friends. You could only have one spouse in this world, but you can have many friends. And they are some of the greatest blessings in my life. That love of philos, friendship love, the title Jesus himself gives to his apostles. All you need is love. Maybe Lennon and McCartney aren't so wrong if we could understand what that really means. If we would have the strength of commitment to see the beautiful gift of Eros as God's first flowering of attractiveness, but then to go beyond that, to be like Jesus in his love, the love of agape, the special love of friendship. If we understand love in that context, then maybe they're right. All you need is love.